Well, on Father's Day, I like to talk about a godly man in the Bible. Last year, I spoke about Caleb, and this year, I've picked Nehemiah. And as I delve into the story of Nehemiah, it's just going to be a brief overview of what happened. But as I delve into his story, we can learn some principles for godly men and godly women today. Nehemiah, as you know, was a cupbearer. He was in a Persian palace, and when he received a call from God to go down to Jerusalem and to repair the broken walls of that city. And so from a man that was a cupbearer, he became a renovator for God, a master renovator for God. I don't know if you've ever watched those renovation shows where they come along and they might renovate a house or a garden. Judy tried to get our house on a renovator show once. She rang up a TV station, and her husband's not a particularly good gardener, so she rang up to see if we could get a garden renovation done. The shows, I think, were looking for gardens that they could bring landscapers in to renovate the garden, so she made the phone call. And, you know, I could just imagine that Judy and I might have been whisked off to some tropical island, and then the TV cameras focus when the renovation has been done, and we're brought back home, and surprise, surprise, there's this wonderful renovated garden. I could have acted. Anyway, we didn't get on the show, unfortunately. There's all sorts of TV renovation shows. There's garden renovations, there's bathroom renovations, there's kitchen renovations, there's whole house renovations. In 2004, there was a show called Renovation Rescue, only lasted for 2 years. But Renovation Rescue, what they would do is they'd come to a house that was rather tired, that needed renovating, and they would renovate the house for people that were in difficult situations. Well, if you come to Nehemiah chapter 1, God's people are in a difficult situation, and there's a need for a renovation rescue. The city of Jerusalem was looking very tired. In fact, it was actually in a mess. The walls were broken down, the gates had been burned with fire, and the city's streets were strewn with rubble. And God calls Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. And he's the man that God leads to lead God's people in the reconstruction of the walls in just 52 days. If you study Israel's history, the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom and there was the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was called Judah. And the Jews in the southern kingdom were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were taken to what is called the Babylonian captivity. And King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. He carried away precious vessels, and he carried away God's people to the city of Babylon. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, which we read, it gives us a background to that. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 19, "And they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia." So God's people were carried away for 70 years. Now the Persians ended up conquering the Babylonians, and that's how Nehemiah ended up in the Persian kingdom. And he's in the kingdom under a king called Cyrus, and Cyrus issues a decree that the exiles, the Jewish exiles, should return and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, if you study history, the return of the exiles, the Jewish people to Judah, was accomplished in three main stages. And the third wave of the Jews that returned, returned under Nehemiah in 445 BC. They rebuilt the walls and the gates, but didn't build many houses. And so now if we go back to the book of Nehemiah, and we think about Nehemiah, he's a Jew, he's in exile, and he ends up being a cupbearer to the Persian king. And cupbearers were like bodyguards for the kings. The cupbearer job could be a rather cushy job. You ended up probably living in the palace of the king. You were able to have the king's food and the king's drink. But there was one downside to being a cupbearer. You see, one of your main reasons of being a cupbearer was to taste the king's food and the king's drink in case it had been poisoned. So if the king's food was poisoned, the cupbearer was the first to know about it. He would probably end up dead. So it had its downsides as a cupbearer, but cupbearers were important people in the foreign kingdoms. And normally the cupbearers were trusted men. They had to be trusted men because the king had to put his faith in them for his protection. And so in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah gets a call from God to go down to Jerusalem to repair the broken walls of Jerusalem. He's in the palace at Shushan, and Shushan is what is known as Western Iran today. And Shushan was the winter residence of the Persian king. And it was about 1,200 kilometres from the city of Jerusalem. So if you go to Nehemiah 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So the visit of the men from Judah to the Persian palace was the beginning of God's call upon Nehemiah's life to begin that restoration project down there in Jerusalem. Now, if you're a Christian, God's got a call on your life. Men and women, boys and girls, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, just as Nehemiah had a call on his life, you've got a call on your life. We are to go into a broken world with the restoring power of the good news of the gospel. We live in a broken world, and right throughout the world, God looks down and he sees broken nations and broken cities. And those that are in broken cities, God sees broken lives and broken families. The entrances of our nations now, particularly the Western world, are wide open to the enemy. As our nations have moved away from God and our moral and spiritual walls of the past have been broken down. The need of the hour is men and women who, like Nehemiah, are concerned for the glory of God. They put aside their own comforts, they obey God, and they go down into the world of sinners to broken people. Not only are our cities broken, but in many cases our churches are broken. Many churches in Australia are like the temple in Jerusalem, surrounded by the remnants of a once strong fortress, desperately needing the intervention of God for protection and revival and restoration. The need of the hour is of men and women who hear and see God's call to ministry in this broken world. Now, Nehemiah, as I mentioned, is probably living in luxury. He's got the confidence of the king. He's surrounded by wealth. And despite all the good things that Nehemiah had, he never forgot his God. He never forgot God's people. And he never forgot God's city, the city of Jerusalem. And when he's visited by the people from Judah, he inquires about his people. He has an interest in the city of God. And Nehemiah is told that the city is in great distress. The walls are broken down. The gates were burned with fire. And God's people were subject to opposition and oppression from the enemy all around. Nehemiah 1 verse 2. I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Nehemiah is concerned for the situation, and his story is a great reminder to us that we should show concern for the broken cities and the broken families and the broken lives in a world largely without Christ. He was willing to leave his position of power in the palace and go to a city of ruin and reproach in obedience to the call of God. You know, we can be in busy places. I'm sure Nehemiah was a busy man in the work that he had to do for the king. But it didn't stop him hearing the cries of God's people and the cries of God for him to go down and represent God in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus, Nehemiah reminds me so much of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, living in the Father's house, was not afraid to leave the Father's house and all the glory and come down to a broken world and look across the world and see souls that were in trouble. The Bible says when he saw the multitudes, this is referring to Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherds. Jesus said that the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Nehemiah could have stuck to his material world in his comfortable palace, but he didn't. Jerusalem was meant to be a city of praise, but Jerusalem was a city in peril. Jerusalem was a city where God desired to meet with his people, and Jerusalem, I believe, as I understand the scriptures, was to be a witness to all nations. And yet the holy city was in ruins. Its defences, walls were obliterated, and God called Nehemiah to do something about it. You know, when I think of Nehemiah's day, I think of our day. Nations that once knew God, nations that once knew the Bible, are in an absolute mess because of the sins of their people. Nations that were once an effective witness for the Lord are in ruins, and they need revival and restoration. Like Jerusalem, the walls of defence of many nations are no longer strong. Once godly nations are finding that their defence systems, and I mean the literal defence systems, are crumbling of the nations. Today's defence forces in Western nations that once knew the gospel seem to be more concerned with trendy training rather than weapons training these days. Biological men in the Air Force are able to wear dresses. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. I'm the son of a World War II airman. My dad, as a young man, went on a ship. He joined the Australian Air Force, ended up in Britain, got in those old rattly planes and did missions over Britain, flew over the Channel, numbers and numbers of times on various missions. And I'm sure his squadron leader was not concerned about men getting into dresses. He was concerned about men getting into planes. And because men got into planes and men fought on the shores and men fought on the seas, not in dresses, but in proper uniform, our nation and other nations defeated Adolf Hitler, who wanted to wipe out the Jews and decimate the whole of Europe. The Australian Defence Force needs to return to God-given attitudes. We've got a history of the Anzacs in Australia. Men that bravely went overseas in World War I and World War II as men and fought for their nation. And many of those men believed the Bible and trusted the Lord. Western nations that once prospered under the gospel and that have turned away from the gospel are losing their walls of defence. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The walls of defences have come tumbling down in the Western world because many in the Western world have turned away from God's word. Not only are the walls of defence coming down, our domestic walls have also crumbled. Many Australian homes are shattered today. So many children here in Australia are living in broken homes. Kids that have their original parents living with them in a stable home are getting rarer and rarer in Australia. Broken homes so often produce broken lives, and broken lives produce broken cities, and broken cities produce broken nations. Not only have our walls of defence come down and our domestic walls crumbled, our walls of decency have crumbled in this nation. Turn on your TV. Today it's mostly trash. Buy a newspaper, it's mostly trash. Theatres today are largely dominated by trash. Today's internet is dominated and flooded by pornography and untold evil, and men and women and even boys and girls are being addicted to the pornography that's flooding the nations through the internet. You know, I can remember the good old days. I lived in the Hills District in Sydney, and we would have parades. And the parades that we would have in the city, in the Hills area, was an area where they grew a lot of oranges. It was a citrus-growing area. And once a year, they would have the Orange Blossom Festival. And it would be a celebration of the hard work of the farmers. It would be a celebration of what God has done for that particular area. It would be a celebration of agriculture. And they'd have these big floats going down the main street of Castle Hill. And kids would be on the floats and people would be celebrating the great spring festival of the orange blossom and the produce that God has given the nation and God has given that particular district. How sad it is that parades have changed. The biggest parade in Australia is celebrating sodomy. Sin used to sneak down back streets, now it marches down main streets. And there are church ministers that want to march in the Mardi Gras, and there are prime ministers that want to attend it, and there are prime ministers that want to be seen attending the Mardi Gras. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." What was totally unacceptable yesterday is totally acceptable today to many. We are living out Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Defence walls of Western nations have come down. Defence walls of Western nations are crumbling. Decency walls of nations have come down. Doctrinal walls of the nations have come down as well. Nations and churches that once prospered under God and they've let their biblical doctrines go. I get phone calls from people wanting ministers. Had a phone call from a man in Queensland the other day. One of the deacons elders or deacons in that church is now pro-abortion, and that church is desperate for a man that would actually preach the truth of God's word. Had another call last week from a man down in Victoria. Their church is desperate for a godly pastor down there. We are living in a day and age around Australia where there's plenty of churches in country towns, but there is not men, godly men, that will fill the pulpits. Our doctrinal walls have come down in this nation. In New South Wales, we used to have great laws ensuring that every child would get scripture in schools, in public schools. And our government used to recognise that training children in the Bible was very important, but there's been recent changes of government authorities in recent years. There are those in government authorities now that want to remove scripture from schools. And as it was pointed out this morning, we need to pray for scripture in schools. The children of this nation have a right to hear the word of God. In many schools, scripture is out and humanism is in. In many schools, creation is out and contraception is in. In many schools, prayers to God are out and the perversions of the world are in. I don't know if you read the Telegraph on Friday, July the 22nd, 2022, and this was the headline on page 4. Wall-to-wall gender theory after school. And the article told of a man coming to pick up his child from aftercare school at Roseville Public School in Sydney. And when he entered into the room there, he noticed that there was a huge pride flag, and the pride flag was bigger than the Australian flag. This is when he goes to pick up his five-year-old for after-school care. And then he noticed all these different posters around the wall, and the posters were describing different sexualities with definitions like pansexual and lesbian and gay and transgender. He was so upset what he saw. I've seen a picture, it's in the Telegraph. You can see a wall plastered with all this perverted sexual behaviours. And so he was upset. You know, the Bible says this, Matthew 18, verse 6, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Well, you read on further in the article and you find that the police were called. You know why the police were called? They were called on the father who reported what he had seen. Isn't that amazing? What is our nation coming to? The Bible says that Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God's people in Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day were amongst the ruins of a city that once honoured God. And now people in Australia find themselves in a country in ruins, a country where people once honoured God and where many children were once brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And what we are seeing today, I believe, are the last days apostasies that Paul talked to Timothy about. Paul, addressing Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, said, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 4 verse 4, "And they shall turn away the ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The defence walls of this once great nation have come down. The domestic walls of our once great nation has come down as we move further and further away from the truth of God's word. The decency walls of our nation have come down as we move again further and further away from the Bible. The doctrinal walls of our nation have come down as pastors in pulpits preach the world rather than the words. We've got to be like Nehemiah. We hear the need around us. We need to survey the need and we need to meet the need. Nehemiah 1 verse 3, "The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Nehemiah is moved to action and his first actions are to weep and to mourn and to fast and pray. Nehemiah agonized before he organized the restoration activities in Jerusalem. And if the church doesn't see the broken world today, and if we don't agonize and organize, we will fossilize. Do you know that God has ordained men to take on the spiritual leadership of our families, the spiritual leadership of our churches, and I believe the spiritual leadership of our nation? Where are the Nehemiahs today? Where are the men that see this broken nation and who see the broken cities and who are prepared to pray and go into a world of broken people with the restorative power of the gospel? Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You know, when I think of Nehemiah, he must have been totally out of his comfort zone. You've got to remember that Nehemiah is a cupbearer. He's used to being in a plush palace in the service of the king. Nehemiah's no tradie. He's never been a brickies labourer. He's got no experience with the trowel. Nehemiah knows he can't do it. He can't do it on his own. So he enlists the help of God above and men below, and he moves out of Babylon into the broken city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah's got a wall to build, he's got enemies to fight, and he's going to make Jerusalem great again. Nehemiah 2 verse 10, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. I want to tell you that if you step out for the Lord Jesus, you're going to deeply disturb others. You might deeply disturb people in your own family. You might deeply disturb people in your own company at work. You might deeply disturb people in your own university. You might deeply disturb those that are closest to you. People were deeply disturbed as this man of God sought to bring a restoration work to the city. Oswald J. Smith said, "Prayer moves the arm that moves the world." Nehemiah needed all hands on deck to both build and battle. And Nehemiah knew that without God and the support of his people, Nehemiah had no hope. And when I think of the Church of Jesus Christ in Australia, you know, all of us have got to be bold and we've got to step out and we've got to build again in the spiritual ruins of our land. The church has got to keep building in the spiritual ruins of this city. And the church has got to keep ministering to broken families and broken lives with the power of the gospel. The city of Newcastle is a broken city, and as a church, we are the light in this darkness. And every church needs to understand that every person in the church, every member needs to have a ministry in building for God. You know, you and I, like Nehemiah, have a great calling. You are a chosen generation, Peter says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We who are believers in the Lord Jesus are called out of darkness. We're called into light and we're called to take the light as well. Nehemiah had a great calling. Nehemiah had a great commission. And he passes the calling and the commission on to others. And men and women both begin to rebuild the walls. I'm not going to go through it now, but if you read Nehemiah chapter 3, you'll find people of all different occupations. You find people like that were perfume makers and jewelers and all types of people. Nehemiah 3 verse 12, you see that women there were even involved in the restoration of the walls. And everyone here who knows Jesus as their Saviour has a commission and a calling to serve in this church and in this nation, because every Christian is somebody in his body. And everyone here has a unique personality and has been given unique gifts and unique experiences to contribute to God's work on earth. And God never intended the church to be a one-man ministry. Everyone here is to be building together for God's glory. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's children." Nehemiah calls to others, and you see that in verse 17. "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work." Nehemiah was a great man of God because Nehemiah knew and trusted a great God. And you can see how much Nehemiah trusted the Lord in Nehemiah 1 verse 5. Look how he addresses the Lord. "And I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven." He knew God was in charge of the whole universe. "O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments." Australia needs Nehemiahs. Nehemiahs that will leave their world of comforts and who will go down into the broken nations and the broken cities and the broken families, and who will go to broken individuals with the life-changing, restoring power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I think of Nehemiah's call to mission, I'm reminded of Isaiah's call. Isaiah 6 verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Our prayer should be that God raises up Nehemiahs, and God raises up men and women that were under, like men and women that were under Nehemiah, willing to go on mission in a broken world. Nehemiah 1 verse 10, Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power. You know, this could be a prayer for us. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer.